Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Fight Podcast, Season 4, Episode 12. And again, we're coming to you on a Wednesday evening. Whenever you're listening to this, though, we are recording it on this Wednesday. And the topic today is how you can stay engaged, and us, too, because we're talking about ourselves as well. But last week, we started off, Brian gave me a trivia question. And so now I'm going to throw it right back at him with another trivia question.
Okay.
And so kind of in the realm of how we can stay engaged, I looked up if there was any presidents that started their career at the city council level. And there's one. So there's one president that started his career at the city council level. Who could that be?
Wow. All right. I will take a guess at Calvin Coolidge.
Yes. Yes. Calvin Coolidge. Wow. Oh, my gosh. One out of 47.
Ugh. That biography I read paid off, although I didn't remember that specifically. But he did, you know, he was kind of silent Cal. But
yep.
He you know, started rather inauspiciously and just kind of climbed up the ladder from there. So
right. Wow. Oh, and city council is completely obtainable for anybody. Okay, now last week I got it, Brian, you got it this week, so two for wow. Two.
Okay, well, we're good.
I guess so, all right, yeah.
Our next section will be on pride, our next episode, yeah, the evils of pride.
yeah, that's funny.
Well, I love this kind of tagline that we use, that we're all about informing and empowering truth seekers to take their place in the good fight. And like Denver and I saying, we are talking to ourselves before anybody else, is that we want to do that. And how thankful we are for just 2 weeks ago from when we're talking that God's marvelous miracle that he did. Scripture tells us that he can do far beyond all that we can ask or think. And he certainly did that for us. And now it's up to us to make something out of it. So we're very thankful.
Right. And a lot is happening and a lot has happened. I think you can get caught up in the presidential election, but I mean, we have to be so happy for getting the House and the Senate too. So it's huge. And now it's our turn to do something with it.
Yep. And we can't expect the left to go away quietly, or we can't expect them to go away at all, because that's not going to happen. But they have to be exposed. They've already been exposed and overwhelmed with spiritual power, of course, and then the superior ideas. Which we believe we have in a lot of ways. We talked last week about not falling asleep in Delilah's lap. In other words, you know, not getting comfortable. And I don't know about you, Denver, I've noticed that temptation in myself, you know, that I just, you know, we get caught up in the stuff of life, and, you know, it can't consume our whole life. But for me, I've got to do something every day to remind myself of the nature of the fight. And that's very helpful to me.
I completely agree. And again, we're talking about ourselves here, but everybody has a different role and it's going to look different for everybody. And we mentioned last week that it's at the very least, you have to stay informed, which is difficult in itself and does take time and vote. So, and we say the least, that is still a large responsibility and it does take up time, but we do think that is something we all should be doing.
Yep. And we're just trying to provide you with as many resources as possible to stay informed. And some of these resources that we're suggesting, like those two podcasts from last week, they happen every day. And you could take one day to listen to us and those other things, and that'll go a long way. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And
well,
trying
we're
to
take
find
a little break here. Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Good, Amber.
Well, I was just going to say, trying to find something to do every day and to remind yourself of that long-term fight. And it doesn't have to be consumed necessarily by watching the news. I mean, you could be reading. It's going to look different, but having that everyday reminder is going to help you stay engaged and informed.
Yep. Well, we're going to do some segments today. So we're going to take a little break and then come back and talk a little bit about the cabinet picks. Lots to talk about there.
Yes.
And then after another break, about the news media meltdown and kind of the reshuffling that's happening there and how potentially good that is for us. We'll see what ends up happening.
Yep.
And then kind of, yeah, conclude. All right, we'll be back. All righty, we're back. Let's talk a little bit about the cabinet picks. It's always interesting to see, but I'm really thankful for how quickly they were on this. It's so much different from last time. Mm-hmm. And I'm really thankful, as controversial as some of these picks might be, I feel pretty confident at the people that are around the table. And I can't think of her name off hand, but the woman that is heading up this transition. And the one thing I liked about her, Denver, do you remember listening to Trump's victory speech? He wanted her to come to the microphone several times, but she wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So as kind of a quiet person myself, I like that. I mean, she wasn't anxious just to get her mug on TV, that she's perfectly content to work in the background. She sounds like a pretty capable person. So I'm glad about that.
Susie Wiles, I think.
Susie Wiles, right? Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and I noticed that too. And from what I've read about her, you know, she's been involved in Florida politics for a long time and really seems to know her stuff, has gotten a lot of people elected. And I think this is a really good position for her. From what I've heard, it seems like Trump really respects her. And, you know, she kind of keeps him in his own lane sometimes, which Trump has to be restrained himself sometimes. So, and if he respects her, that's actually a great voice for him to have around him.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about the importance of that a little bit later. But, I think just one of the things I thought about, that our system is designed with checks and balances, and that's what the Senate approval process is. And I think ultimately that's a good thing. Okay, it's a marvelous thing. But I'm also thinking how, well, that kind of assumes that everybody loves and wants the best for the country. But I'm not seeing that on the left. Okay, so that's kind of the problem with that. I'm not seeing that in some of the rhinos too. I mean, it's one thing to disagree, and that's fine. But I just would say, you know, let's let the system work and give it a fair shot, you know, in the Senate.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's one of the beautiful things about our country is the checks and balances for everybody, everything, and the pace at which he has came out with these cabinet picks is going to help that process because it's almost starting. People are already thinking about these candidates for these positions. And I'm sure the people who are going to be voting in the Senate have already done some digging. So they're already kind of thinking about it. We're not having to put these names out there later like we did the last time. So yeah. The speed at which it's been done is going to help, I think.
Yeah, well, it's been good for me to remind myself, too, that Trump learned a lot of hard lessons in the last term, and that he was betrayed by some people that were pretty close to him. So I don't blame him for being a little wary and wanting to have people loyal, and they deserve that because it is a grand vision and something that we, you know, that we have bought into and a lot of people in the country bought into. But just like you mentioned with Susie Wiles, we need to pray that he will have some people around him that are able to tell him the difficult things, right?
Yeah, and I think there are voices like that. Susie Wiles, I think, an Elon Musk, an RFK, a Vivek, those people I really trust that they'll say what they believe, and that's important in a president's cabinet and people who have regular communication with them. I think that's fundamental.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of compared Trump with the biblical king Nebuchadnezzar, who even in the Bible, God says that he was an instrument of God, but that pride was his downfall, and it took a lot to get him to be in submission to God. So you can read Daniel 5 for the details and pray that Trump wouldn't have to be taken that far. But that's always, I think, for all of us, especially as Christian believers, we need to pray that will be able to be kept under control and not get out of control.
Yeah, I totally agree. One of my prayers is that, you know, Donald Trump prays regularly and that he's ultimately guided by the Lord. So I think, Brian, I think you echo that prayer as well.
Yep. Well, it's also a good thing to remember that the system is severely entrenched and broken, and that calls for a special kind of, you know, that calls for a wrecking ball to some things, and that's a messy process, and it's not fun. And yet that's one of the things I've liked about Trump all along is that he is a fighter, and he's fighting for some awfully good things. And so there are some hard things that are going to have to happen, and we just need to pray that that will that that will happen to good result, and that that if these picks seem a little strange, we got to realize that it's hard for people that are too invested in the system to be objective about it and to really be willing to do the hard stuff.
Yeah. Just because something's been done one way for so long doesn't mean it's necessarily the right way. And if the system is broken, then something needs to be changed. And I think these picks that we're hearing, where a lot of people on the left and some on the right, I'll be honest, some of the picks have made me think a little bit, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. So like Brian said, that the system, we have to go through the process, and we'll see what happens. But honestly, a change could be good.
Yeah. Well, and then, are there any concerns? Well, of course, and that just means we need to pray and be aware and be informed. That whether they're the original nominees or not, that ultimately the people will be in place that can accomplish those hard but necessary things. Okay, I'm going to give you a trigger warning, Denver, because I know a lot of your generation likes trigger warnings. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that if all possible, we have to give Trump's people the benefit of the doubt. Here's a trigger. Even Matt Gaetz.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that is a trigger. Yeah.
There we go.
No, but I mean, you have to really reason here, and we're all sinners, and Matt Gaetz is a sinner. I'm a sinner, and there's probably things that Matt Gaetz has done that he regrets. But like Brian said, giving people the benefit of the doubt, and Matt Gaetz is a smart person, studied law, and knows his law and knows it very, very well. So let's just wait and see what happens.
Yep, that's true. And it's also good to listen to who's doing the screaming about it. I think anybody on the left that's screaming, to me, that's probably a good thing.
Right.
And even some that say that they're on the right, sadly, Mike Pence, and Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, the typical other people. But if they're expressing concerns, that probably is a good thing too, because they're kind of so entrenched in the system.
Yeah, no, 100%. But to turn it around a little bit, what are a couple things that are really good that we're happy about? Elon and Vivek, I think those are two great people, very smart people, and I think they're placed perfectly for what needs to be done. The Department of Government Efficiency, I think Elon is going to be just fantastic at that. And so I'm excited to see what they can do with that. And I think Donald Trump gave them a 2026 deadline right before July 4th to be able to share that good news with the American people of what they've been able to cut. So
awesome. That's
awesome.
Well, and that's great to have a goal too. And that kind of works with the short time frame, how we've got a year to 18 months to make these changes before people start getting distracted with the midterms and stuff. So that's great.
Right.
Yeah, I like Elon and Vivek, that they know how to identify and protect the mission. Okay. And in business, you've got to have a product. You've got to have some kind of a mission, but you got to be efficient about it too. And I think they're able to because they've had real world experience, I think they're uniquely placed to do that. And man, as far as I'm concerned, start with the Department of Education.
Well, that we could do a whole episode on that.
Yep.
Are you thinking completely get rid of it, or are you thinking redo it?
I think it could be redone. To me, I mean, the education is primarily a state's thing. If there can be some federal help with kind of coordinating things, but there's way too much stuff that's coming down from above.
Yeah.
I've heard it argued there could be some difficult, that could be a difficult slog legislatively, even with, Republican House and Senate. But there's a lot that can be done to get it, try to stuff it back into a helpful place instead of the place it's not doing very limited good at right now.
I'd say I'm more in favor of fixing it rather than scrapping it completely.
Yeah. But, Well. You're right in there with the teachers union president. So,
just a little, I mean, not too much.
Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. Got it. No. Well, who do you think are some of the pretty good picks or potentially good picks?
Potentially good. I think Rubio has a potential to be good. I think his experience, he's been in politics for being a relatively young guy. He's been in politics for a while. Obviously was a presidential candidate known by little Marco at one point in time.
Yeah.
But maybe now he's Big Marco. Could we call him Big Marco?
Well, okay.
We'll see what kind of job he does. But no, Secretary of State. Secretary of State is a very big position. So I hope he can be good at it. You know, with the issues he's going to have with Ukraine and Russia, and the issue going on in Gaza. I mean, he's going to have his hands full. So I hope he can do well. So
yeah, and just being able to tread that fine line and being on the same page in terms of the Ukraine Russia thing, that's important. And I think as much as I talked about the Department of Education, I think there's a lot to be said that the State Department is the most swampish department of all the swampish departments. And there's a lot of entrenched people in there that are doing their best to undermine a lot of the policies that are going to be coming down, and that's not right. So I hope he can really be the kind of wrecking ball there that's necessary to kind of bring things into alignment.
Yep. Yeah. What about some question marks? Do we have some question marks on some people?
Well, I already did the trigger warning. So Matt Gaetz, I think deserves a fair hearing. And I don't think we can, he's been investigated by the House for some stuff, but I don't think we can underestimate, because he's the kind of person that you notice in the room. He's not going to be a quiet influence. And as much as I really didn't like what he did to get Kevin McCarthy kicked out, it's not beyond the left to pick up, just to make up stuff and throw it at people like that either. So, I hope he's able to do what's necessary at the Justice Department. And if not, then I hope he can be removed and somebody else can be put in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's another thing you have to keep in mind. Just because these people are up for the job, and even if they do get confirmed, they can get fired. We know Donald Trump's past and how much he likes to fire people. So I'm guessing.
Yeah, you're fired.
You're fired. Matt Gaetz is fired.
Yep.
So it's very likely that these lists of people that we are talking about, that they're all not going to last one way or another. So we'll see.
No, that's true. Okay. What do you think about RFK?
Totally mixed feelings. I think he has great potential. I think he has great potential, but you have to understand his past and being a Democrat for so long, his stance on life and his stance on the environment. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yep. The health stuff I like. Yep. Well, and then there's Pete Hegseth. I think he's a good guy. I mean, I think his major thing was just not disclosing that stuff in his past to Trump, because it sounded like it took him by great surprise, and that's not fair to Trump. So so we'll see what happens. Well, we don't want to make these segments too long, so I think we'll just kind of conclude this quickly. But just remember, this is going to be a demolition and rebuilding process, okay? And that these are people that need to be willing to do that and able to do that. And yet the left is all about demolition, okay? That's what Marxism is all about. Okay, but what we're about is demolishing with the motivation of having something good for all. Anything worthwhile is going to be painful at the beginning. So I hope that we can really make that work, and that we'll see this play out as we pray and as we're involved for the Senate, that will work out. Yeah, there may be some mistakes, but hopefully the results will be good.
Yeah, and as much as you've heard from the Democrats talking about a utopia is not possible. We can strive to be the best we can be, but we can't be a utopia. So, and that's what's put on from the left. But
yep. All right. Well, we'll be back in a second for some talk about the media meltdown.
Ooh, exciting.
Okay, we're back again. So let's kind of talk about the news media meltdown. And I think that might be a good meltdown to be having, and hopefully something better will come out of it. But we got to think about kind of, where did the leftward march begin in the media? And I mean, that assumes we're all acknowledging that there's an extreme left bias in what we call the mainstream media, which I think, you know, any thinking person really has been able to see now, right?
Yeah. And I mean, when you think of what media should be, it should be completely unbiased journalism. And obviously, that's not what we have. And most of it is leaned left. But, you know, why is that? Why is it that way? It's their job to simply explore and ask questions and expose things. But so a lot of times what media does is just completely 100% biased to protect others. And so it's just not that way.
Well, I might interject as Denver that maybe one of the things that started leading to that is even the idea that you can even be completely unbiased. You know, there's always a perspective. And that, sure, you look back at the founding, and that it was very clear that there were different perspectives, and nobody was hiding that. Okay, and I think that's better than just thinking. I mean, to me, that unbiased thing is a little bit of a utopian thing. I think we can try to be, and at the end, I think we've got some good ideas for how we can make that better. But anyway, that just is kind of an interesting thing. Well, that it seems like it's kind of been true.
Maybe a better way to explain what I mean is that it seems like the media has an agenda right now.
Yes.
And so that's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah. Well, you don't remember it, but when I grew up, you know, the TV, you know, there were maybe 8 or 9 channels on the TV, and 3 of those were the major networks: CBS, NBC, and ABC. And that's where you went for your news. You either liked Walter Cronkite or Huntley Brinkley or whoever the people were there. And, you know, there was still a little bit of a leftward tilt there, especially looking back, but at least those people all seemed to be grounded in some kind of objective truth and ethical, moral grounding and a sincere love for the country. But that obviously has changed drastically now.
Yeah, especially in my lifetime. You know, at least in the lifetime that I can really remember, it's always been pretty left-leaning, and into my adult years, completely.
Yeah, and looking back to Watergate, they kind of flexed their leftward muscles during Watergate, and yet there was still a little bit of grounding. But that, you know, I think if you look back at it, I think there were some things magnified out of proportion that maybe, you know, were, I mean, yeah, there were things that were done wrong, but they might have gotten magnified out of proportion because they didn't particularly like Nixon's politics. But
right,
yeah, it's an argument for another day.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think as of recently, I think it completely accelerated when Donald Trump ran and then eventually won the presidency in 2016. And I was only 14 years old, but that's when I started to really listen and start to get into politics. And so that's when I really remember learning about the media and listening, and it was fascinating to say the least to hear what people were saying. So
It's interesting too that the cause of that meltdown, and how, you know, now when you look at the whole wokeism and stuff like that, that they've totally bought into the woke and leftist mindset, and that whole idea that people even back then they hated Trump, but they hated him because they basically hate us. Mm-hmm. You know, the conservatives, you know, we're flyover country people, don't know what we're talking about, a bunch of deplorables, and that, you know, it was all fine before somebody really stood up and started to do something about it, including those of us that started listening to talk radio and stuff like that. That really, you know, like you said, caused the meltdown.
Yep. And then social media, obviously, that's somewhat new in terms of politics, I guess, within the last 15 or 20 years. But, you know, in 2020, with Twitter and Facebook and the Biden administration telling them who to censor during COVID, the Biden laptop, and all the cover-ups, that Mark Zuckerberg came out and said, yep, we did that.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a pretty big, big admission. And I think that represents maybe sort of kind of along with the newspapers not endorsing Trump, the LA Times and the Washington Post. And you can argue different selfish motives for that. But, you know, that they're saying that even what Jeff Bezos from the Washington Post saying, yeah, we maybe just shouldn't even be doing this at all. And that's a pretty big admission for somebody like him. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, especially with his, I mean, his status and his following. I would agree.
Yeah. So, you know, what changes we can see after Trump election? Well, it may be a little bit too early to tell. That, you know, maybe you could say that the Washington Post and LA Times kind of started seeing the handwriting on the wall. You know, there's another Daniel reference for you, but kind of started seeing that. And that they got to change their message. Right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Just bashing Trump isn't going to work. Kamala Harris tried that in the debate. The liberal media has tried that forever. And I think they finally realized, and Nancy Pelosi might be realizing that that's not an effective strategy to win elections.
Yeah. Well, and don't expect that Marxist strategy to go away, you know, but I'm glad it's been so roundly repudiated. And that's kind of up to us now to keep speaking out against that and to make sure that it's about ideas, not about discrediting people. And I know for me, I'm gonna not tolerate that, hopefully, more in conversation when I start hearing it, and just to point people back to the ideas and how bankrupt a road that is to travel.
Yeah, no, I agree. And talking about other media that can't be ignored, Musk buying Twitter. I think that was a huge thing. Yeah. For free speech, the podcast universe. Free speech of former liberal-leaning but honest-thinking people. Rogan, I thought it was awesome that he endorsed Trump. I think he endorsed him on the day of the election, so it was a little late, but he did it. so we can thank him for that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and you can see other people that have kind of had a shift in their thinking or being outspoken. Megyn Kelly, you know, just realized the effect of the awful trans policies on her own kids. And she's kind of come around and is speaking more, you know, she's been very outspoken even after, you know, she and Trump did not have a pleasant relationship back in 2016 during the campaign. So that's pretty big for her to be able to come back. And I think that speaks very well of her, that she's able to do that and not be embarrassed to do that.
Yeah. And of course, TikTok. You know me and TikTok. I think it's
okay,
a
Denver.
Good thing.
Yeah.
Go. I think it's a great thing for okay. everybody to be on. Donald Trump's on it. Donald Trump Jr. So if you have 5 minutes in your day, it's an easy way to get some news in. You can set it to what you want to see. So I think it's a great resource.
Yep. Well, and that it's good to hear for those of you that are kind of more of my vintage. It's good to hear that from a voice of Denver's vintage, because it kind of helps us be able to at least be more informed about what others are thinking and some of the good stuff that's going on it too.
Absolutely.
So, and we've yet to, you know, Denver and I have talked about how we can somehow, you know, have some of the content that we talk about here up on Twitter, not Twitter, on the TikTok, Twitter right. too, yep. but yeah, on TikTok. Yeah. Yep. You know, you know, for us as Christians, even in this, as we think about media alternatives, it's good to realize that not everybody out there who loves the country and is talking about agreeing with us on some of the ideas are Christians yet. And it's good that we can add that yet part. But even so, we don't have to succumb to all of the ideas. And yeah, we're going to have to listen to some potty mouth stuff out there, whatever, But that's okay. I mean, it's the stuff of real life. It's the stuff where a lot of people live, and we shouldn't we shouldn't be naive about that. But it's possible for us to talk about. With that being said, we should be able to unashamedly talk about biblical ideas very, very openly and clearly, because they work. They're time tested. They're proven. And we should be able to make a good case for that, even if not everybody does agree with us.
Yeah, even in just regular daily conversations, because there's so many easy things to talk about. And I think it's just as I had to practice talking about the election, you know, that's another thing that I probably need to practice is talking about biblical things in daily conversations. And as I do it, it gets easier from there. And it can be awkward at first. But I think it's just a practice thing, but it's a good thing.
Well, it's also good to realize that there's room in the media space for more conservative outlets than just Fox News. Can I know, you know, there's been Newsmax and the Epic Times, you know, I still follow Epic Times. I canceled my Newsmax subscription because personally, I didn't resonate with it for some reason. But you know, I've heard rumors about Elon Musk buying CNN or something like that. And, you know, what a great platform, you know, something like that could be to be able to open it up for free speech and that any honest broker, you know, has the opportunity to come on and express what they honestly feel.
Yeah, civil discourse is the foundation of this country, and anywhere that can happen is a good thing.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes, but hopefully some people have learned their lesson. I mean, the latest news the last couple of days is the, you know, MSNBC, the Morning Joe people, Joe Scarborough and his wife, you know, going to Trump and you know, talking to him, and that's a great thing, you know, and it's interesting that they're going and doing that, and, you know, Tulsi Gabbard was completely, you know, excoriated for doing that back in the day. And I think she's a much more honest broker than Joe Scarborough has proven himself to be. But you know, we didn't talk about her as a cabinet pick. But yeah, so we'll see what happens.
That interview is supposed to come out, right? Have you heard about that? The Morning Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be fascinating to see.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not sure when it's supposed to, but I heard it. It will be coming out.
No, I'd love to see that. I mean, I've just seen clips or heard clips of it in different places.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great. Well, we'll be back in a second to talk about a couple of resources for you and just to encourage ourselves one more time to stay engaged. So you stay engaged during this short break, and we'll be back in a second.
Okay, and we are back with the last segment to wrap it up. And one of our old podcast episodes, Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing, which basically, you know, get your spiritual life in order. And that's important for me. I try to do that daily to keep it in order and keep the main thing the main thing. Continue to stay steady in my reading. And what can you do differently each week? Listen to a podcast is a great way. Take a constitution or biblical citizenship class. And as we've talked earlier, to discuss things with others, ask good questions. And doing a combination of all those things can really help you spiritually. But I think one of the main things of all that is the reading, is knowing the word and being able to talk with other people when you're completely educated about it is pretty helpful.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, both Denver and I are teachers, so we're going to ask your audience some questions. So it's like, what have you done differently this week to try to be informed? Have you done any podcast listening that Albert Mohler, The Briefing, or The Wall Builders Show, or you know, what else like that? What kind of reading have you done? We may be able to do some segments about some good book recommendations. We haven't done that for a while. There's Constitution and Biblical Citizenship classes to take. Just talking with others, you know, asking people, just hey, how do you feel about the election that's happened? You know, what are you feeling or thinking about it now? So just see what they say. Just offer some resources this week. There's a really good sermon by Erwin Lutzer that's called God's Laughter. And our quote of the week that Denver's going to read a little bit later is from Psalm 2. But the laughter is God's laughter at people that are involved in you know, the kings and the leaders of the world that think they're just so great and think they can do so much mighty things when they're basically all in his hands. So that's his posture, is that he laughs at them and holds them in derision, okay, which is not a good thing. So it's, you know, and that's a message for all of us that, you know, God, you know, God's mighty sword swings all directions, including ours. You know, when we get out of line, so to speak, and to bring us back to him, basically. But that sermon is really good, so I really recommend that to you. So he talks about not underestimating the harm that a bad government can cause, but not overestimating the good that a good government can accomplish, because there's some things that only God can do and only the church can do that government can't do. So that's a really good reminder about that. Good Jack Hibbs sermon the Wednesday after the election. So commend that to you. And then Wall Builders had a take about a guy from a ministry, a Christian ministry that talks about staying informed, like we're talking about, and also networking with like-minded people. So just like to recommend those to you for after you're done with this podcast.
Right, exactly. And I've indulged in a couple of those and can say that they were good as well. So highly recommend. So I will go ahead and close with what Brian said, Psalm 2. And Psalm 2 reads this. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
So for our Good Fight audience, as we keep up the good fight, those are good words for all of us to remember that we're about God's business. The duty is ours. The results are his. And so let's together, especially at this Thanksgiving time, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. So we appreciate you, our audience. Please let us know, goodfight71@gmail.com. If there's something helpful or if you have questions, suggestions for further episodes, we'd love to hear from you and we appreciate you listening very much.
Yep. Thanks for being here. Glad to have you. I'd love to hear from you. So thanks for listening.
All right. Let's cultivate a grateful heart. Take care, everybody. Bye. Bye.